I bring Pastor Wilson up. I do want to just give you a very brief introduction. I just said it yesterday. I said we're going to hear from our missionary to Kenya. Now, I don't know how good your English is, but that is not good English because he is our missionary from Kenya. That's an important preposition. The reason I say that is because we have a really special relationship, not just with Pastor Wilson, but with IGM and how we got introduced. Now, you won't know this name, but some of you might remember. I know Pastor Heinrich's watching from home, and he will remember this name. His dear friend Rex Furman is the one who introduced us to Pastor Wilson. And Rex is in heaven now, and Rex was a very special guy, just a sweetheart of a guy. So what IGM does, the brief version of this, is that IGM finds native pastors, native people in the ministry who we can align with doctrinally and we can support. So instead of us sending a missionary to a particular place, we find somebody who's already in country doing the work of ministry and that we can support. If you don't know the value of that, I don't remember the numbers. At some point years ago, they knew the numbers was, it was like 10 to 1. Your $1 could go as far as 10 or something like that. I don't remember the number, but it's exponentially more valuable to support somebody in the country because there's so many things you don't have to help with costs for because they're living there already. They're a part of the community already. And these things mean that you can, the ministry support goes much further. Now, we're not talking about investment. That's not what we're talking about, our money. We just want it to do as much as it can in the ministry, right? Do you know how much ministry $100 buys? $100 worth. That's how much it buys. It doesn't buy $1,000 worth. So now you ask the question, what are the costs of doing ministry in Africa? Well, how about helping an African do the ministry in Africa? So Brother Wilson is going to share with us. He's going to preach the word this morning. I think tonight will be more of the ministry talk. If you want to come and hear from him tonight, we'll be downstairs sharing. But I asked him to just take the hour and, well, 45 minutes and preach the word because I want you to hear from him. And I don't know how many years we've known each other. It's more than 10. Who knows the answer?
Since 2006.
2006. I said when he got here today that he looks the same and I'm getting older. I did not know it was that many years. 2006. Wow. So it is a privilege to work with the folks in Africa. And I love one of my favorite things before I bring him up. One of my favorite things is when I'll send a prayer request out to the church. And every once in a while, somebody will reply back. And sometimes it's Pastor Wilson. He will reply back that he's praying for our things. Now, the reason that's important is we're all in missions. All of us are. Okay? I'm a native pastor to Modesto, California. He's a native pastor to Kenya. Right? We're just doing the work of the ministry. And so when he hears that we have a prayer need and the people in Africa are praying for us, that means a ton to me. It means a lot to me to hear those things. It's just so encouraging. So, Brother Wilson, come and share the word with us. I'll get this out of your way.
Unless you're going to sing a song.
Yes, I will.
Well, then you can sing in the pulpit. And I'll close when you're done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor John. I'm extremely happy to be back and see you. And also to report to you of what the Lord is doing in Africa, because you have been a great partner with the Lord's work in Africa. Since 2006, when I first came here, and then you took me for support, and you have been praying with me. That's why I love all the time to be here and report back what you're doing, because without your prayers and your support, I don't think we'll have lived to see what the Lord is doing in Africa. So thank you so much for your faithful prayers and to support the ministry work in Kenya. And also I want to thank God for Pastor and the relationship that we have continued to be together all these years in the ministry as we serve the Lord. So I'm glad once again to say that I'm glad to be back and report to you and thank you for our relationship. Let me begin by sharing how it all started. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through reading of a tract. After I'd gone through initiation to become a tribal man, One of the evening, I was walking by our village market, and there was a street preacher preaching and passing out the tracts, and I took one. At home, I was reading for the first time. And on that tract, this verse was there, Psalms 119, verse 176, which reads, in part, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. So when I read the explanation of that verse, it really got all of me, and I had nothing but to surrender my life to the Savior. As I read that prayer on that tract, and after praying that prayer, I walked out to look for a pastor whom I shared with him my experience, and he prayed with me, invited me to start worshiping. And as I continued, I wanted to know more about the God of the Bible, because we grew up knowing that our God lives in a greater of a mountain where our forefathers went there to do their sacrifice every year. Now I have found the God of the Bible, so I wanted to know more about the God of the Bible. So as I continued to worship, at the same time I was praying that God will put me somewhere to study deeper his word. And finally, the Lord answered my prayer as he opened the door for me to join Independent Faith Bible College to study his word. And I was there, and I studied the word of God, and I got the truth that I wanted. I found that my heart was now settled, because what I had wanted to know, I've gotten. And the Lord started burdening me now to go back to my people and share this truth with my people. Not actually something to be like a pastor did not exist in my mind, and I don't even remember any day praying to become a pastor, but I wanted just to be somebody who can share the truth, help my people know the truth. In 1991, the Lord led me to my town called Kitale. And at Kitale, I was planning, and I was going around, whoever that I was meeting, I could just at least talk with him the word of God. Until one day, my friend and I, we decided that we need to be meeting every night for prayers. So we could sing a little bit, read from the word of God, and then pray. And the first day we met, it was me, my wife, and his wife. So when we finished praying, when we opened the door, there were three people outside, and they wanted to join us. So we asked them to come the following day. And the following day, they came, and by the end of the week, God had increased the number who were coming for prayers. Now on a Saturday, one of the Saturdays asked me, tell us the plan of tomorrow. I told them, please, you can go anywhere. Look for any church around you, go worship, and then we meet tomorrow night. They say, no, we need to be here. And I said, no, it can't happen, because this is a small room and we don't have chairs and everything. They asked me to leave, to go out a little bit. So I walked out, and after 5 to 10 minutes, they asked me to come back. So when I came back, they told me, this is what we have decided. We are going to have a fellowship here tomorrow. We are going to worship the Lord from here, and you are going to be our pastor. And the other one was to be a secretary, and the other one to be a treasurer. So I said, what can I do? I have only one vote. There are more than 20 votes. So I started bringing around excuses. We don't have chairs. We don't have what they say. Don't worry about that. God will take care of that. So the following morning, they borrowed the chairs. They came, and we started meeting. And that is how, actually, I became the pastor. But before that, I did not know that I would be the pastor, because I never prayed even a single day to be the pastor. So, from there, we have seen God blessing from 4 of us. The Lord blessed and grew the work to 139 churches. And these 70 churches matured, and they went to start their own fellowship. We were made with 60 churches. That was about 5 years ago. And since then, God has added, we have now 89 churches that we are working together to enlarge the kingdom of our great God. And we really thank God for what actually the Lord is doing. Kenya, like in other countries, people, their hearts are open to the word of God. They want to know more of the word of God. And as we move around, actually sharing with the people the good, great news, and we see people coming to the Lord almost every day, and we really thank God for that. So as now we continued, we formed a fellowship. And this fellowship, when I was about to graduate in the college, I found out the college I went to, most of the preachers who trained there, they were no longer serving under the Baptist ministry. That they just left and gone to other fellowships. So I wanted to know why were those people leaving. So I talked to my professor, and he allowed me to follow them up. And I visited them and asked them why they'd quit the fellowship of Baptist to join other fellowship. And most of them said they decided to quit because there was loneliness. Nobody was around to encourage them. Nobody was around to help them in time of need. And the people were just around, these people from other fellowship denominations were just coming. And because of that, I said, God, we need to form a fellowship. And that's why we formed Independent Gospel Missions of Kenya with three principles or three pillars. One, to pray for each other. Number two, fellowship, to fellowship with the other. And number three, to help each other, to support God's work by helping each other. Those are three pillars of IGM. And beside that, every individual church is a local church with its own constitution. They've written what they want, they believe in doing for the Lord as the Lord has guided them. So we only come together for fellowship, prayers, and to support God's work. Otherwise, everybody is working independently. And we thank God because we see this program working very well. Even those people who had gone out of IGM, they are doing wonderful well. We see good report, we hear of what the Lord is doing. And with that, we really praise the Lord for doing that. So our general focus actually still the same, pointing the lost people to the Savior and training faithful men and women for the work of the ministry and teaching them their roles and planting independent Baptist churches. Those are still three of our pillars, and we're working, and we see God really blessing us. So besides that also, we have projects under the fellowship that we are doing. We have the Bible College, because we have to train our men. There's no way they can serve God in a better way if the truth is not known to them. So we start a Bible school, and about 300 to 400 people have already graduated from our Bible school. Currently, we have 98 students who are studying the Word of God, and we thank God for what the Lord is doing and through us. Also, we have the Project Orphans. People die, and when they die, they leave the children and nobody to tend to these kids. So demonstrating the love of God, we are coming in to help these children who cannot help themselves. And about 3,000, they have gone through our program, our projects, from school to the orphanage. And we thank God. Currently, we have 167 that we are caring for. We have some in Uganda, northern Kenya, north of Nairobi, then Migori, and Tanzania. So these kids, we are helping them, giving them shelter, feeding them, clothing them, and sending them to school. And we really thank God. Although it is a child is just a child, and it sometimes a burden some to actually to help this, but we thank God. So we have Christian schools, seven Christian schools, and one high school. And we have a total of 84 teachers together and 21 subordinate staff who are actually working to help these kids get what the Lord wants them to actually to get. So more maybe we'll talk later when we have time after the evening service. If you have any question, it will be the right time to ask. Now, the main reason why I've just returned to your country this time, we have a need. The Lord is blessing the work, especially where I'm the senior pastor, Gospel Baptist Church at Etala. The Lord is blessing, and the place where we are meeting currently is growing smaller and smaller. And also when we have our come together with other churches, we lack a place to accommodate them. So sometimes we decide to go rent a tent so that we can accommodate the people. But like last December when we had the youth conference, over 450 youth had turned up, And it rained throughout the week. And we did not have any proper program going on because of the wind, water, and all this. So we prayed, we said, God, can you help us have a bigger place so that when we have a meeting like this one, people cannot travel all this mile to come and go back the way they came. So I have a prayer request that you pray with us, if the Lord can provide, so that we build a bigger place where it can accommodate God's people and be taught the word of God. So I have the information behind there on my display table, and you can pick one and read it and then know how to pray with us. If the Lord leads to stand with us, we'll appreciate, and we know with the prayers, all things will be possible. So the other things that we have, because as I've said, I'm the spokesperson of the 89 churches, and we have so many challenges and needs going on, and if the Lord leads you to know some of these needs, during the question and answer time, I can actually be able to answer your question. Or you can go to the website. We just create the website with Fail. It will help people to know what the Lord is doing. So it is www.igmkenya.org. So if you go there, you can come to us, and you can be able to see what the Lord is doing in our country. So please pray with us that the Lord may hear our prayer and answer our prayers. Otherwise, I thank you so much for being good to us and for praying for us and supporting the ministry work in Kenya. I don't know how the situation would be without you. And that's why I always thank God for the late Pastor Rex Furman and Pastor Henrik for making this possible to us. So thank you. Thank you so much. Others will talk later. So let me sing a Swahili song a little bit. And then if you have your Bible, please, we're going to study the whole long story from John chapter 9. I wish we had time to study. And if you can study the whole chapter, then we can take like maybe 2 or 3 days to go through. And we don't have, so maybe you're going to jump here and there, do read where the Lord wants us to read, and then we'll be done in a short moment. A Swahili songs. Let me just sing it. I'm not going to explain to you, but after singing, maybe you may know what kind of song it is.
Bwana Mungu nashanga kabisa nikifikiri jinsi vilivyo. Nyota nguru movitu vyote pia viumbavyo kwa uwezo wako. Roho yangu na ikuimbie jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Roho yangu na ikuimbie jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Nikikumbuka vile wewe Mungu ulivyo mupeleka mwanao afe azichukue dhambi zetu, kuyatambua ni vigumu no. Roho yangu na ikuimbie jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Roho yangu na ikuimbie jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu.
Do you know the song? How great thou art. Okay, now let us now turn to the word of God. As I said, John chapter 9, it's a long chapter, But we are going just to pick a few verses and talk about them. And before we read the word of God this morning, let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you. And we thank you because you have always good plan for us. And there is nothing that happens, Lord, which you have not allowed to happen. So we thank you, Lord, for bringing us this morning together, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you what you want us to know this day. We commit ourselves unto the great teacher. Teach us and show us the way that we ought to go. Reveal to us yourself, because we want to see you and hear from you. Thank you for all of these who came, even to those who have not had time to come, wherever they may be. Father, we ask that you will bless them and be with them. Our pastor who is not feeling well, we commit them. We commit him in your hands, that Father, you'll work on his health and improve it. And when we see him back in the fellowship, we shall not forget to thank you. And so many people who are not feeling well, who may be losing hope, that Lord, you will be with them to help them in this situation. Thank you for Pastor, and thank you for the staff of this church. Thank you for all membership. Thank you for their goodness. Thank you for their firmness in your word and their continued love for you, that God will continue to bless your children. So bless us together now as we open through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This, as I said, is a long chapter. And let me just maybe apologize. Sometimes people say that I speak like a machine gun. So when you don't get me, please, we don't allow people to talk or to ask when we are preaching. But when you raise up the hand, I'll know that I'm going very fast, so I have to calm down. So when you see me going fast, please raise up your hand. Don't fear. Then I'll know, because my eyes will be just moving all around to see. So there is a long story here about the man who was born blind. And later on, this man met with Jesus and he started seeing again. It became a story in that community. How is it that this man who was born blind, now he can see? They are wondering, ask so many questions. And also there was a fear of Jewish people, because if they could openly confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, they will be excommunicated from the church. So they had that fear. But one thing when I read this verse, it really excites me. The testimony of this man, that is chapter 9, verse 25, and that is going to be actually my theme. Chapter 9, verse 25. And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." So allow me to talk about one thing I know. I was blind and now I see. What a powerful testimony from somebody who was being surrounded with the people who were ready to get him out of the synagogue. And he did not fear. He just went openly and tell them. So here we see the book of John. This tells us about the relationship and about man and their God. John 20:31, to call people to believe in Christ and so to live or to have eternal life. So God, Jesus actually came that people may know their creator and return back to their creator. So in this verse we see Jesus Christ came to demonstrate the mighty of our God. And how can we know this? When we read from the book of John, we can see here. Number one, the man who was born blind, after discovering that now he's seeing, verse 25, he went public to tell people, not regarding what might come to him, but he wanted to share his inner man, the experience, what the Lord had wrought in his life. He went alive. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Other stories, I'm not going to tell you about them. I'm not going to answer you anything, but one thing I know, he knew, he discovered what the Lord had wrought in his life, and therefore he had to go out and share with people. What a wonderful example. I don't in America, but in Africa. This is what we're encouraging our people. There is something in testimony. When you have a testimony, testify of something that has happened to you, share with the people. People will believe because we'll see what you are telling them about. And the testimony always convinces people to change their mind and take a different direction of their life. So this man went public about what had happened and said he knew one thing, that he was blind and now he could see. Going public is very important to a believer. Sharing your experience with other people who may have not known you better. Going out to tell what the Lord has done is very important. Psalms 105 verse 1. Make known the deeds of God. Back in Kenya or in South Africa, most of the people don't go public to tell people what the Lord has wrought in their life. And because of that, we delay the spread of the gospel. Because people will not just come and believe if they have not been told. People will not come and believe if they have not heard. People will not just come and believe if they have not seen something happening. So people want to be told. And it is our duty as believers, as the children of God, to go out and tell people what the Lord has done. When I got saved, I went back to our family. And I behaved in a different way. And they were asking me, why are you doing this? I told them, I'm born again. I'm the child of God. I don't need to do this or live the way I used to live because God has changed my life. So from that time, there are some who said, let us see if it's going to take a week or a month or what. But I thank God. It was days, weeks, months, years. Now I'm 44 years. In the Lord, and I've never regretted why I gave my life to the Savior 44 years ago. So going public, and this is what us, I believe, if all believer will get an opportunity to meet his friend, neighbor, co-worker, or a relative, and share, then within a short period of time, we can be able to witness to so many works. Because saving is not actually our work. Our work is to share what the Lord has done, and the rest of the work we leave unto God, because it's God who convicts people to see where their lost condition so that they surrender the Lord, the Savior. So with this man, he just went public. He said, I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. He did not have any more question. Also, a good example we get from a Samaritan woman after meeting Jesus at the well. And she was told all about her life. What she did, John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. She left the water pot and she ran into the city to go tell people, come and see. Somebody was told me all about myself, all about my life. Sharing your experience. They did not hide or keep it for themselves. It's actually the duty of us as a believer to go out. In African mind, most of the people in Africa think that the work of witnessing or doing something is just about the pastor and the church evangelist who have to go out. No, it is the duty of all believers who believe, who have seen a miracle of salvation in their life, to go out and share with the people, because that is exactly what people want to hear, what the Lord is doing. We're not talking of God of the old, we're talking of the present God, what he's now doing. We don't want to share with the people as if Christ lived in those days and he no longer lives now. We want to share what Christ is doing in our life. Come and see what he has told him, who has told me all my story, introducing people to Christ. That's a very important thing to us. So, as our believers, may God really help us know that we have a duty to go. So the blind man knew one thing, that he was blind, and now he can see. Let us see something else. The blind man met with the light of the world. Let us see verse 5, how it reads, John 9, verse 5. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. This man was blind. Now he met with the light of the world, and now he was seeing. Something that happened. Even the people who knew him testified, said this man was blind. They saw what the Lord had done. And because of the fear of the Jews, that's why they could not want to name the name of Jesus Christ. But they know. And even there were discussion among themselves. How can this somebody perform this kind of miracle? If he is a sinner, how can a sinner perform a miracle like this one? Because they had seen what the Lord had done. So as who have seen the light, who have met with Jesus Christ, we need to go out and share the light that the Lord has in our heart with them. John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The same to verse 9. In him. So we don't have any other source of eternal life apart from our Savior. And this Savior, it is our duty to go out and make him known to the outsiders. And these people will not come to believe if we don't take that initiative step to go and introduce this Christ to them. And thereafter, they want to mount us, see us, as if our testimony is consistent with the life that we are living, for them to fully believe in the power of the word of God. John 8:12, I have the light of the world. Jesus talking the light, and those who walk in the light, they will never go back to darkness. Even right now, we love light than darkness. When it is down, when the darkness is over, most of people even don't walk outside their house because they fear darkness. So also, we need to walk in the light. We need to quit the characters that may hinder people who are still in the world to believe in the Christianity. And this is actually the kind of message we are sharing with our people in Africa. Show them. And most of them illiteracy is just like 65%. People have never gone to school, cannot read and write. only 35% the people who have been in school, they can read and write for themselves. So most of the people, especially in the villages where I come from, we ourselves, we are the Bible to these people with the epistle, because they look at us, they look at our life, they look at our walk, our talk, and then they say, this man, God has called him. So we are epistle to be read. We are the light of the world unto them. So we try actually to be what the word tells us to be, so that we can actually, these people can look at us and be convinced to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Our important thing as the dear children of God, our duty number one is to lead people to Christ. Because there are some rewards, some days we are going to get, we are going to receive for the job well done for our Lord Jesus Christ. Something else, look, number three, the blind man met with the true Savior and he worshipped him. After going through all the experience this man went, after seeing what the Lord had performed in his life, he decided to believe in him. Let us see verse 38. From 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him because of what he had done. When people get the truth, knows the truth, there is no way they can avoid the truth. Everybody wants good things. Everybody wants eternal life, especially when he introduces eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. All people want to live longer, and they will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and their Savior. So this man, after meeting with Jesus, although he had been cast out of the synagogue, he was excommunicated, and they didn't want him any longer, but he met with Jesus, who impressed him back, and he worshipped him, and that's how it went on. So from this this chapter, to generalize them, there are two things that actually happened that I share with you. Number one, this blind man, his physical eyes were opened. He was blind, and now he could see. Number two, he worshipped the Savior. Number two, this blind man, his spiritual eyes were open. And that's why he worshipped him. So when we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, when we do as he has commanded us in Islam, in his word, things will move smoothly. And God will receive glory and honor. And as we know, our life is yet very short. Days are coming, we have to live. And there is a better home after this life. And we must make our decision now for us to be ready for that eternal life. And the decision we make now is the results of our future life. When we make a good decision, then we'll have a better life. When we make wrong decision, then that is how it will be. So may God bless you. Thank you so much.
I was trying not to laugh, not at, but when he was saying that something that needs to happen in Kitale is for people to hear the gospel and then go share the gospel, I was internally back there laughing, thinking, we're supposed to do that too. That's the same here. We need more people to go share. So I'm glad you told us the message of what the people in Africa need to do. But did anybody else in the room feel what I did? Yeah, okay, that we need to do it here in our country. Well, we're going to take up our second offering first. If our ushers want to make their way forward, and I didn't ask any piano players to play an offering. Would you do it, Kelly? I should have. I saw Pearl at the piano today, and I thought maybe I should say something, but then I didn't. So, the ushers, you can come forward. As I said earlier, that's the entirety of this offering will go to the ministry, to Pastor Wilson's ministry, and you heard how broad it is, and I really do encourage you, because he only scratched the surface of just how much ministry is being done in Africa, and I'd really like you to come tonight and hear more, and like I said, bring some foods to share, and we'll have a good time of fellowship. Doesn't it make you happy to know that the gospel is being preached on the other side of the world? Yeah, and like I said, there's conviction too. Like I was thinking, like, the way he said it, you need to go share. And I was thinking, we need to go share. It's not just happening on the other parts of the world. We need to share. We need to go to our neighbors. We need to help people see the truth that we were blind and now we see. So I'll pray, and then we will take up this offering, and then we can close with the song. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask you now to please bless the offering and the giver. We'd ask that the resources would have their intended goal, which is the spread of the gospel in Africa and the support of Pastor Wilson and his ministry. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the partnership and just to know that someone on the other side of the world thinks of the Lord Jesus the way we do. And we really do want him exalted, the Lord Jesus exalted. And so we'd ask that this offering would go to that end, and that you would receive lots of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.